Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Chaf Vav, the 26th Perek. This is the first of the many, many psukim where Iyov responds in frustration and anger to his friends and sensitivity to his suffering. And it's a very beautiful Perek, which describes a lot of natural phenomenon in a very beautiful way. Let's take a look. Vaya'an Iyov v'yomar, Iyov turns to his friends and he says like this, Pasuk Beis, Me azarta lelo koach, v'hoshata zrua lelo oz. Who have you helped without strength? Meaning, who without strength have you assisted? And who have you saved? He whose outstretched arm, whose arm has no strength. There's two kind of ways of reading this. The one is a question. How have you helped someone? How is all this information, friends, that you keep giving me, how is this helpful to anybody in the world? Right? It could be a reference to somebody who's this person, lelo koach. It could be a reference to Iyov. Iyov is suffering. He's in an incredible amount of pain and he's saying, what have you assisted? How have you helped me or done anything advantageous to me because of my suffering? Or it could be philosophical. And again, these are the two pieces of Iyov, the head and the heart. And from a philosophical perspective, what he's saying is, how is the information that you've given anybody new information? Even people who are dumb will know the things that you're saying. You're saying God runs the world. We know God runs the world. You're saying that there's justice. People know these facts. You haven't brought anything new or fresh or dynamic or nuanced to this question of Tzadik Varalo. And he further goes on and he again belittles them and almost mocks them. And he says, Maya atzta lelo chochma, you haven't given any good advice. V'tushia lerov hodata, and what wisdom have you given, have you made known to many people? And he continues, Pasuk Dalet, and he says, Et mihi kadet tamilim, who exactly are you talking to? Who are you giving chidushim to? Because these are not chidushim for me. V'nishmat mi yatz'a mi mecha, and the soul of whom is coming out of you. In other words, who are you representing? Whose words are you talking? Really, essentially saying, do you think you represent God? You can't represent God. Your words are so silly and so minuscule and so unnuanced. You could not be that you are representing God. The Malbim is going to read these psukim slightly differently, because remember that the Malbim understands Bildad, who spoke just before. Bildad is trying to explain Tzadik Varalo by somewhat of a concession. He agrees to Iyov that there is some sort of power given to astrology. Yet God still runs the world. So here, therefore, in response to those words of Bildad, the Malbim is saying that essentially what Iyov is saying is not he's asking rhetorical questions like, how have you added wisdom to anyone? But rather he's actually saying, who have you benefited by agreeing to the fact that there is astrology? And the answer is, me. Thanks, Bildad, for supporting me. Thank you for giving me wisdom. Et mihi gadet amirim, whose vantage point are you adding words to? To mine. Thank you so much. You're doing great. You have agreed with me that the ma'arechet, that the system of astrology is involved and randomness is involved in suffering. And therefore, I can disprove your point that, but God runs the world. And he's going to do that in the rest of this parak, according to the Malbim. From here, he starts to describe heaven, earth, water, the water system, and various other parts of nature in order to really explain how incredible God is. But it's important to understand why he's doing this. There's a couple ways of understanding this. Either Iyov is describing nature, because what he's saying to the friends is, I could have figured out everything you've told me about God from looking at the sky. I didn't need you as philosophical experts to add to tell me anything, because I can look at nature and see God. Alternatively, the Malbim is going to read this differently, and we'll have to take a look at how he's going to slice this up in order to explain his worldview. Pasuk Zayin. Notet safon al tohu. God spreads out the heavens on nothing. Tole ha'aretz al blima, and lets the earth hang on nothingness. God runs the world, and God brings the world into existence in a way that it is entirely dependent upon God. Tzorer mayim ba'aviv. God gathers up water into the clouds. Velo nivka anan tachtam. And a beautiful imagery here. And the sky is not ripped. Sorry, the clouds are not ripped up because of that water. The clouds get heavier and heavier and heavier. And yet when it rains drip by drip by drip. It doesn't get bucketed down in one big shot. So God is nurturing the world and bringing nature into and bringing natural responses into the world. That's all under His auspices or His guidance. Pasuk Tes is a difficult pasuk to translate. He says, Ma'achez pene kisei. God closes up or controls the face of the kisei. This is kisei with the hay, which could mean the covering. The covering of the earth, or it's a reference to the Kisa HaKavod, God's throne, another word for heaven. Either way, what it's saying is that God oversees heaven, He covers up and He controls heaven. Parshez alav anano. Parshez, the Mefarshim say the Zion can be left off, it's just poetic. So Parash, He spreads out His clouds all over heaven. Beautiful description of how Hashem runs the heavens and creates the heavens. Pasuk Yud is where we're going to start to understand how the Malbim reads these Pasukim. Chok chag al pnei hamayim, a chok, a law or a rule, God encircles on the face of the water. Ad tachlis or im choshech, until perhaps the word tachlit comes from the word lechalot kilyon, destruction, until the Salam Mutsuras Davin understands it, until the end of the world. God has created laws of nature to keep the heaven, the waters up in heaven, the waters below, the earth sitting upon nothing amidst these waters. All of these things are hanging on very, very specific wills of God, which will continue to hang there until the end of time. The way that the Malbim reads these psukim is specifically relating to this word chok. There is a law. In other words, the way that the Malbim reads Eov's answer to Bildad is like this. Bildad, you agreed that there was some power to astrology. And your argument was that God can't shut down astrology. Remember, He can't dim the moon or shut down the stars just on behalf of one tzaddik. And therefore, there has to be some sort of general providence, which both the wicked and the righteous will receive, so that things will even out. But don't worry, because things will even out at the end of time. Here, it seems, according to the Malbim, Eov is arguing that there is a different chok, there is a different rule, there's an entire different system that runs the water system, the upper waters, the lower waters, the earth. And this has nothing to do with the astrology, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Interesting approach. And therefore, what Eov is really saying to Bildad is, yes, so God can't shut down astrology on behalf of a tzaddik or a rasha, but He can make it rain. He can rip open the skies and cause water. He can make a flood. He has some power that he can control. He can manipulate the waters, and it won't infringe on the natural running of the stars, the sun, and the moon. Pasuk Yud Beis, Bekocho Raga Hayam. And here again, we can hear the Malbim's reading so beautifully. With God's power, He calms the seas. And with His knowledge, machatz rahav, He can also cause it to be thundered up. And now the word rahav has a couple of different meanings. The one that the Mefarshim point out is that rahav is a reference to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. And therefore, this pasuk is actually saying, Bekocho, with God's will, He split the sea. Right? And at the same time, He closed up the sea over Egypt to destroy the Egyptians. Here, Eov is arguing, there can be justice for tzaddikim and for rasha'im in the very self-same water. The same water that opened up and split and allowed all the Jews to be saved is exactly the same water that closed up on the Egyptians. So don't argue that there has to be one force of nature for everything. That doesn't work. It's not a good argument, because people can achieve different things in the same elements. Now, we can already think in our heads, the counter argument for that is, yes, but all the Jews got saved and all the Egyptians got punished. And yes, there's Midrashim that describe how different Egyptians, depending on their level of wickedness, experienced a different rate of drowning. Those who were very wicked drowned very, very slowly. Those who were less wicked but still wicked drowned instantly. But still, A person who happens to be amongst the Egyptians would drown, and we know there were wicked people amongst the Jews who were saved. So this argument is not the greatest of arguments. But there we go. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Baruchos Shamayim Shifra. With God's ruach, wind, he either shleshaper means to improve or to beautify, or it means to balance. But he caused the heavens to be improved. Let's say Cholala Yado Nachash Bariach. With God's hand, he smote this straight up snake. So what are we talking about here? Now, the book of Iyov, and we haven't really encountered this much, but we're going to as we get further on in the Sefer, deals a lot with mystical creatures. There's a lot of fascinating mystical creatures here. And Rashi brings two explanations of this Nachash, the snake that we're referencing. The one, and maybe some of you have guessed this, is that it's a reference to Paro. If we're talking about Egypt and the destruction of the Egyptians, we're going to say that Hashem will destroy the snake. And who is the snake? The snake is Paro himself. Alternatively, Rashi says that this Nachash is a reference to the Leviathan. The Leviathan seems to be some force of eternal wickedness, which will be destroyed at the end of time. And the entire end of Sefer Iyov, there'll be a lot that we'll talk about the Leviathan, so you have to hold on for that. But maybe this is a reference to the force of evil. God can destroy evil. He does destroy evil because he will destroy or has already destroyed the Leviathan. Either way, these are the greatness of God. These are the parts of the world in which I see God. So friends, I'm not sure what you're adding to the discussion. And this is how he wraps up the perek in Pasuk Yud Dalet. Hein ele katzot derachav. This is just the tip, the edge of God's ways, what I'm describing here. Uma shemetz davar nishma bo. And what tiny little blip of information can you hear from it? You guys, there's so much infinitely, incredibly wise about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I can see on planet Earth, that your arguments have not added anything to me. V'ra'am gvurasav mi yitbonen. And on the word ra'am is like the thunder of God's greatness. Who could comprehend? Here, once again, the Malbim is trying to argue that what it's saying is that God can cause thunder. He can cause lightning to punish the wicked. And that won't affect how he runs the stars, the sun, and the moon. I don't think that the fact that I believe that the world is run on Mazal should eradicate the fact that God can still be just. He can, and Bildad, your argument is insufficient. The way that other Mefarshim read this, and Rav Schwab beautifully describes it, is that really what it's talking about is this is the greatness of God. If you look out at a thunderstorm and you hear the Ra'am Gvurasav, the thunder of God, then we couldn't possibly begin to comprehend how wonderful God is. And Rav Schwab quotes Rav Yerucham Levavitz, the great Mashgiach of the Mir. And Rav Yerucham says like this, he says there's something a little bit childish about the fact that when we hear thunder, this Ra'am Gvurasav, we quickly want to make that bracha, Shekocho Gvurasom Alei Olam. We shudder and we immediately have this response to praise God for his thunder. Rav Yerucham says we should have the same response every time we drink a glass of water. Every shehakol nihiyeh bidvar, every time we stop and we look at a glass of water and we see how incredible it is that we're being nurtured, we're being nourished, we're receiving food from the creator of Hashem, that's something incredible. And that if we only manage to live in a mindset where we see Hashem in nature, as Iyov seems to say it's very simple to do, even though we know it's not so simple, then we can live in a world where v'ra'am v'rasav mi yitbonen, we just see the thundering revelation of God in all of nature. Our learning today was sponsored by the Nachyumi Chavruta in loving memory of David Hanan ben Michael Verachel, whose short years, despite immense challenges, were filled with Torah, family, and joy. His life left an indelible mark on our community and beyond. May the schus of our learning give his neshama an aliyah, and may his legacy continue to inspire.